life presents us possibilities each and every day. I heard a calling that was right for me. I prayed for strength for what's ahead of me. Stood before me was my enemy.
Don't tread on me.
He's come to take away my liberties. I'd rather die than be a slave to thee.
Don't change me.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots and jackbooted thugs alike. It is that hour again. It is the fastest growing blog talk show on Thursday nights. You're listening to the TNT radio show, Thursday Night Truth, with your host, Dale the Truth, here on the My View Matters radio network. We open up the show tonight with Rather Die Than Be Your Slave by Poker Face. We already see people lined up to get on the show, so we better give the phone numbers out early tonight. If you want to call in, as usual, the call-in numbers are 858-683-1326 or in the Louisville, Kentucky area, 502-805-0334. As we operate here in a hidden hideaway, undisclosed location in Louisville, Kentucky, the date is Thursday, March 14th. 2013. We will start out as always with This Week in History, and we go back. Seems that we got an 1800s theme tonight on the show, but we're going to go back starting out This Week in History. In 1817 was born Confederate States General Braxton Bragg, and then this week in 1828 was born Confederate States General Patrick Cleburne. Then you move forward in that Battle of the States, or better known as the War of Northern Aggression, or as the government indoctrination camps called public schools tell you, the Civil War. In 1861 this week, the territory of Arizona seceded from the Union. Probably one of the best moves that Arizona had made. And then finally we move forward to a little bit more recent, this week in 1876, when Alexander Graham Bell made the first phone message out there. And we got a lot of news to go over, and we're going to got to get a lot of stuff done. As they say, we got a long way to go and a short time to get there. The biggest news here in Louisville, starting out tonight, straight out of the Communist Journal headlines here in Louisville, Kentucky, is yet another Metro Council person that is being recommended to be removed. And this is big news because right before I went to the airwaves tonight, I was talking to Big Ed Springsteen, who runs the My View Matters radio network, and he was pretty excited about this because Ed Springsteen was very instrumental in helping in the takedown, if you want to use that term, of Councilwoman Barbara Shanklin. For those not scoring at home, remember we had the first district councilperson, Judy Green, was taken down after many of the investigations initiated by Ed Springsteen. And now you have, here today in Louisville, Kentucky, the Ethics Commission recommends that Barbara Shanklin, district woman for the 2nd District, should be removed from the Metro Council. I keep saying we're doing this in perfect order for those of us who are anti-government. We removed the 1st District councilwoman, now we're going after the 2nd, and we can work our way all the way up through 26, I guess, if we have to. But this Ethics Commission unanimously found that Barbara Shanklin had intentionally violated city ethic laws for her own benefit. Let me repeat that. The Ethics Commission unanimously found that Councilwoman Barbara Shanklin intentionally violated city ethics laws for her own benefit. And they recommended that, again, she be removed from office. Of course, it's up to Metro Council to actually decide if they want to oust her. The commission deliberated for 3 hours today before announcing its findings. It literally came out about 2 hours tops before our showtime started. And the commission also said she intentionally failed to disclose that she was authorized to write checks on a neighborhood association's account. And it found that she improperly supervised her own grandson when he worked for her council office. And it found that she got him higher pay than others who did the same job. So, of course, here comes Council President Jim King, another Democrat. I guess I'm kind of sounding like the mainstream press. I should have told you that these are all Democrats we're talking about. Jim King, Council President, said members will address the findings, quote, in a way that helps to move this community forward. I have no idea what the hell that means, a way to move this community forward, because our Metro Council usually goes straight backwards. So there you go, just a little bit of a tease there, and we'll see if we get back to this topic later on tonight. If we have any passers-by that are involved in this topic, we might go to them. But that's just starting news, and we also hinted a little bit last night on the Ed Springsteen show about what we were pretty excited about here in Louisville, Kentucky, and Andrew Schottner being elected as the chairman of the Louisville Young Republicans. It bears repeating because, as our friend Clint Hardy over at Kentuckiana Grassroots Radio says, he said, Dale, this is probably the first time that the Young Republicans in Louisville have been run by a Liberty person since you ran it. And I can't disagree with Clint, because that is true that I ran the Louisville Young Republicans. We were called the Jefferson County Young Republicans back then, from 2000 to 2002. And I really haven't felt the need to go back to any meetings after that time, because it seemed like it was a neocon joint after that. So we're very excited that that Andrew Schottner is the new chairman of the Louisville Young Republicans. He worked with us in the Liberty Movement. He worked with us when we were trying to get a foot forward in the convention process last year, when the big tent decided to close down the tent with any Liberty people coming around. That was when they wanted to give us all red stars if we didn't vote their way and didn't believe in big government, like their Mount Rushmore of neocons, David Blackjack Williams and Little Richie Farmer and Charles Merwin Grayson the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Mentioning red stars, I think we got a gentleman on the line now who also shares in our red stars, and I think our good friend Frank is calling in from the People's Republic of Vietnam. Are you there, Frank?
Hey, Dale. I can't say I got a full red star. I only got half of a red star. They wouldn't let me be a delegate, but they did elect me to the Executive Leadership Committee. And then I quit the party and joined the Libertarian Party, and my life is much better ever since, you know.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. I keep telling people on these airwaves, people who listen to the show, Frank, and we know the numbers are growing every week. I'm surprised, and I shouldn't be, that we have anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 people listening weekly. And I keep telling them I stay in the Republican Party for two reasons. Number one, so I can vote in the primaries, because as we know, as our good friend Ken Mulman, who does the Sunday night show, will tell you, or my good friend Michael Lewis, who runs Independent Kentucky, will tell you, they won't let you participate in their little country club party, even though you paid for it, unless you check the little box with Republican next to your name. So that's the one reason that I stay in the Republican Party. And the second reason is because they haven't found a way to kick my ass out of the party. they can't keep me from being a Republican. So that's the other reason I stay in the party. Go ahead, Frank.
I hear that they have not quit purging the Republican Party. One of my friends here in Fayette County tells me that they are still actively trying to get rid of Tea Party people. And I'm thinking, boy, what a bunch of idiots. The Tea Party people are the people that got Rand Paul elected, probably the most popular person in the Senate now, if not the entire country. And the Republican Party wants to purge the people that have worked the hardest, that helped more than anybody else to get Rand elected, and they want to kick those people out. Well, let me tell you something. Anybody out there that's a disgruntled Tea Party person within the Republican Party, the Libertarian Party will gladly take you in. We would love to have you come over to the Libertarian Party. Please do.
Well, Frank, the thing about that is, and I know it's a little bit of a repeat episode, maybe it's early summer reruns for people that have heard me and Ed talking, Ed and I talking last night on his show, but the county party, and I know what you dealt with in Fayette County, is very similar to the beast that we dealt with here in Louisville, because I say we're right here in the belly of the beast in Louisville. And the funniest thing is, we remember in the primaries for the U.S. Senate, everybody in the establishment backed Charles Merwin Grayson, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, whatever the hell he is, right? Am I right about this?
Absolutely. When I went to the Fayette County headquarters one time after Rand won the nomination, they had big signs for everybody up in the window except for Rand. They had a little tiny Rand sign down in the very corner.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you had the local people, they had their signs up in the middle of the window, front and center, and you couldn't even see the Rand sign. It was hidden down in the corner. So I brought in a big Rand sign and put it up in the Fayette County window without asking permission. And I thought, what a bunch of idiots. Here you've got your main carrier of the fleet running for office, and you don't even have his sign up.
On the top of the ticket. And the thing about that, Frank, is you got to remember U.S. Senate is a six-year hold of an office, so you're not going to have another race for 6 years. And I don't deny, I can't prove this is opinion, but I don't deny there were many people in the state party, Lexington, Louisville, all around, that secretly wanted him to lose in November because they figured, heck, it'd be easy for them to take it back over when they have another neocon come around. Because God knows, if your candidate is so strong and your representative of your party is so strong that they're threatening you with Ashley Judd, I guess that says a lot about you, doesn't it?
Well, you know, one of the people that was a Republican establishment guy that was giving speeches on Rand's behalf, I heard him give a speech in Estill County one day, and you would think that he was trying to make Rand lose. We had people there that were shaking their heads like, is this guy really trying to help Rand or not? And we called the headquarters and told them, Rand's headquarters, and told them what was going on. And they, fortunately, they replaced this guy. But he got up there and was saying things like, well, I know Rand's not really the kind of person we'd really want to have representing us. But, you know, since he's our representative, I guess we got to get out there. I mean, we literally said these words. We've got to get out there and help him win.
When they're confronted with a Liberty candidate, they run the gamut from those backhanded compliments, like you mentioned, up to the possibility of just flat-out lies about the candidate. And I talk about many times, I went to an event just down the street from our underground headquarters here, and this was an event with a bunch of middle-aged ladies, and I guess you would call them neocons. They might be tea partiers. They just might be sweet tea drinkers. I don't know. But I went to a meeting, and this was back when the presidential primary was going on, so we're going back now. Just a little bit over a year ago, we already had Rand in there, and now we're trying to see what happens with the presidency. And Ron Paul was running, of course, and I hear little old ladies telling each other, and you got to figure some little old ladies just trust what their other little old ladies tell them, and I hear them telling each other things like, you don't want Ron Paul in there. He wants to give everybody heroin. That's exactly it. You know, I don't have a problem with people doing heroin, but that's exactly what they were doing to try to scare the people. And it's very interesting. Our good friend is in the chat room now. It is very interesting that, as Frank tells us, the party is trying to still purge people from the Republican roster, but yet we just got the best filibuster, probably the only filibuster in our lifetime. I think there hasn't been a real filibuster since going back to the days of Strom Thurmond. And then beyond that, you look at the fact that we have Andrew, who just won chairman of the Little Young Republicans. So the numbers are on our side. I keep telling everybody, Liberty is on the move and the Empire is on the ropes. And what are they going to do? You know, they have to either embrace Liberty or go to the other side. And you mentioned Rand. And the funny thing about it is CPAC has come around again. And for people who don't know about CPAC, this is like the Conservative Political Action Committee, they call it. Now, my good friend John Ziegler, who used to do the morning show here long before Mandy and her predecessor, John Ziegler out in California now, he actually exposed the CPAC people several years ago for what a sham that they were. But people still go out there and kiss the ring of CPAC, and it's kind of like a who's who of potential Republican nominees or candidates for president. And so they started their thing today at CPAC. And lo and behold, are you still with us, Frank? I heard a drop on the line there.
Yes, I am.
All right, people, if you want to get on the line, again, for the folks I see listening on the phone, you just press the one key, and we'll get you in as quick as we can. But they started CPAC today, and lo and behold, here comes Rick Perry. Can you believe that they dragged this guy out, the same Rick Perry who wanted to give all your little girls in Texas the Gardasil shot? The same Rick Perry who thought that your little girls all belong to him, which is a scary thought. He wants to run for president again, and that's okay because behind here came Marco Rubio and Rand Paul, of course. And Rand Paul just brought down the House. And the best quote, I don't know if you or our listeners have heard this, but the best quote from earlier today, and this goes right along with what I've been saying. So Rand Paul says, quote, the GOP of old has grown stale and moss-covered. He said, Rand Paul says, I don't think we need to name any names, do we? Well, see, Senator Rand Paul is a diplomat. I name names here. He says, our party is encumbered by an inconsistent approach to freedom. The new GOP will need to embrace liberty in both the economic and the personal sphere. I mean, would you agree with that?
Did you say they were covered in moss, Dale?
That's what Rand Paul said. He said the GOP of old has grown stale and covered with moss.
I don't think it's moss that they're covered with. It's something a lot drier. But, you know, moss would sort of imply life. They're not really alive. They're old and stale.
Well, I definitely don't want to say they're covered with grass because then they'll all freak out. They'll think grass means marijuana means hemp. So they won't say that. But Rand Paul goes on in his speech today. He says, if we're going to have a Republican Party that can win, liberty needs to be the backbone of the GOP. We must have a message that is broad, and that vision that must be broad, must be based on freedom. And so he gave a great speech. He brought the House down, and I thought it was maybe ironic, maybe intentional. They put him on right after Senor Marco Rubio, and they loved him. They said one out of every two or three people out there had a stand with Rand shirt on, Rand stickers on. So it's getting really interesting, and how in the world they'll deep six this thing and try to take him out, I don't know, because here comes Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio was also speaking at CPAC, and Marco Rubio, you'll love this. You'll love this line. He's such a great speaker, this Marco. I don't know if he had water bottles at hand to grab at every last second. But Marco Rubio said, we don't need a new idea. We need America's idea, and it still works. What the hell does that mean?
They're so empty. Their slogans are so empty and meaningless, it's pathetic.
It means nothing. I mean, basically, Rubio gave a speech, and he got out there, and he supposedly spoke on education. I really doubt that he said to get rid of the Department of Education like Ronald Reagan promised. I really doubt that he did anything productive. He talked about how we need to trade with China. He talked about how we need to stand against same-sex marriage. This is what Marco Rubio stood up for at CPAC. And he declined to ruffle any feathers. He didn't even mention immigration overhaul he's worked on. Instead, he just stood up there, did the old rah-rah speech. He didn't have a cheerleader's skirt on, thank God, but he just was basically saying, don't abandon your principles, and we'll be here. I mean, it's the same old crap, and Rand Paul's got to be looking at this thinking, this is my competition? So that's what was going on today at CPAC, on the opening day of CPAC, because they're going all weekend out there, and your comment, Frank, on the fact that he just gives the same old talking point, sounds like he's using a teleprompter, maybe as in Espanol, maybe it's a teleprompter with closed captioning, for the dumb impaired. But, you know, Rand Paul said the GOP is old and covered with moss.
It's covered with something, all right, but it's a lot smellier than moss. But you know, the thing is that we're going to have a Stand with Rand event here in Lexington at the end of April.
Right,
and we're firmly behind Rand and his ideas and what he stands for, but I really don't believe that the Republican Party leadership is going to allow him to rise up in 2016. You know, he's making a move toward running for president. I think everybody knows that. And by all rights, he would be the best candidate that the Republican Party should push up. But that, will they? I don't think they will. I think that they see Rand as a threat to their power. No Republican leaders or no Republican establishment guy wants real change. All they want is more of the same. They want control of the crony capitalist system that's in place. They don't want to embrace the free markets. They don't want to embrace freedom.
Nope.
So is the Republican establishment at the national level going to allow Rand to rise up? And I say no, they won't.
Well, time will tell, but I want you to let everybody know. Give them more details about your Stand with Rand event in Lexington.
Well, we're just starting to formulate the ideas for the event. We've got a couple of speakers lined up. We're going to try to have it the last Saturday in April, and it's going to just be a very pro-Constitution rally. You know, all Rand's really trying to do is say, hey, guys, the Constitution's over here. Where's everybody going? You know, we're starting to turn seriously fascist. We've been, you know, sort of heading toward fascism now for a long time, and it's getting more and more serious and more pronounced, and Rand's just trying to get the wagon back on the road a little bit, you know? So we're just going to try to show support for Rand, show support for the Constitution. I'm sure we'll be labeled by the Southern Poverty Law Center or some sort of fringe terrorist organization. I was proud to see that I think Take Back Kentucky got placed back on that list, and I'm really
concerned.
Are we back
on the list? Are we back on the list of terrorists?
And here we are. Here we are as libertarians doing everything we can to embrace the Constitution, to embrace gun rights, and we can't even get a mention on the SPLC website. I'm really offended.
Well, you should be. I mean, the SPLC, the idiot that runs that organization, only thing I say about that guy.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
We appreciate you letting us know about the goings-on in Lexington. I am going to throw you back in the queue a minute there, Frank. You're listening to the TNT Radio Show, Thursday Night Truth, on the My View Matters Radio Network. It is the most popular Thursday night show in Blog Talk land. We go back to the airwaves here in the Louisville area. I believe I know who this is, and we'll grab the top numerical order, 291 phone number. Who we got on the air?
Well, good evening, Dale. Paul Holliger here. Stopping.
Paul, you always surprise me with the phone numbers, you secret agent. You. What do you think about Rand Paul and telling everybody that the GOP has grown stale and moss covered?
Well, Frank, God love him. He hits upon a bunch of good stuff when he contacts you.
He does.
On
we keep him
TNT.
In the now.
He's got so much good stuff. I don't see how you can fit it all in just a 1 hour show. But
yep.
let me address one thing that Frank mentioned here while it's kind of fresh on everybody's. Mine. Frank may not have been aware that yesterday on one of the big name radio stations, there was a lady who was a guest of the morning DJ. Her name is Chris Ann Hall.
Yeah.
Prior to yesterday, I hadn't heard much about her, didn't know anything about her, but it only took about 10 minutes to convince me that this woman is absolutely on top of constitutional stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know Clint's in the chat room right now talking her up. I think he was at the event, too. So tell us a little bit about her. I mean, I know her from a couple years back, but, Paul, you were there in the auditorium that was, like, jam-packed for Chris Ann Hall?
Well, no, I didn't attend the meeting last night at Austin's out there on Brownsboro Road. But tonight, from 7 to 9, she's in Bardstown, Kentucky,
yep.
at the American Legion Post. Tomorrow night,
yep.
she's in Elizabethtown at the
cool.
Nolan RECC. And
yep.
then over on Saturday, there is an all-day seminar that deals with – it's a five-hour Constitution workshop. Now, let me tell you, if what she presents in these seminars and these rallies is anything close to what she presented on the radio yesterday here in
yep.
the Louisville area, this woman should be – she should be one of the leaders, and she should probably be right next to Rand Paul. I would encourage Frank to consider finding a way to get her to come to his summer workshop down in Lexington area, because this woman is dynamite. She's passionate, but most importantly, she knows what she's talking about, and she's got an argument for every criticism that the other side can levy against someone who believes in constitutional based government. Okay?
Well, they're coming from the other side of constitutionality. I agree that that's a good thing. I get worried when I hear the other side, because we don't want it to be a left right false paradigm thing, but Clint is also reminding us that she has her own show on Blog Talk Radio on Sunday, so that's something I'll have to check out. She has a Blog Talk Brethren with us, so I hope her show doesn't clash with our good friend Ken Moman, who does Liberty Unbridled here on the same network Sunday nights at 7 o'clock, but yeah, she's a great speaker. Like I said, I don't know if we'll get to hear her this weekend. I believe her time on Saturday, for better or for worse, is exactly covering over the time that Take Back Kentucky meets in E-Town also. So I don't know if they're going to try to incorporate her into the meeting Saturday or how that's going to work. But, I mean, she says the right stuff, and I'm hearing she's exposing Marco Rubio too.
Let me get back to your original premise here where you and Frank were discussing the goings-on within the Republican Party, both nationally and within Kentucky. I want to broaden that just a tiny bit. And that is, Dale, I want to invite anyone in your audience, anyone
yep.
in your audience to call in tonight. Call in tonight and tell you that they own a political party membership card in either of the mainline parties.
Yep,
okay?
I've heard this one before. Yeah, go ahead and tell the audience.
and my whole point of making a big deal out of this, I'm a registered independent and have been – I like to call myself a recovering Democrat, clean and sober now for more than 18 years. But I defy anyone here in the United States to show me that they're a member of any party. And this whole party membership mentality is very damn dangerous to the goings-on that we have in this country, to the dealings that we have. Because people who may be registered as
yep.
Republican or registered as a Democrat, the vast majority of them cannot prove membership. So,
no.
Dale, if they can't prove membership, how on God's green earth do we get these two parties in charge of everything? And the answer, I think, a good example of the answer lies over in Indiana. Now, technically speaking, when you go to register to vote, you do not have to declare any party affiliation.
I love the way they do it. Correct.
Okay. And you know that me being a member of Independent Kentucky, that is certainly an element that we find quite attractive.
Oh yeah.
But let me go one step further on that. In the process of finding candidates, the political structure in Indiana does find people to run as members of either the Democrat Party or the Republican Party. Now, Dale, if you go to vote and you don't have to declare an allegiance, how on earth do the political parties get candidates? The answer is really simple, really simple. And, in fact, it is verifiable on the Wikipedia page that explains political parties. And that is, when you join a political party, they make you swear to an oath, a loyalty oath, okay? And then only the members of the political party can choose candidates, all right? So, Dale, over in Indiana, they make no bones about the fact that a relatively small number of Hoosiers are the ones that are controlling the two big political parties in Indiana. They make no bones about it.
I know. We just wish we could get on a local level. We just wish we could get them on a local level to get rid of the party labels. I mean, you saw what happened in Frankfurt when our good friend Michael Lewis went down there and challenged them. It's a famous soundbite now where old dinosaur Julian Carroll, at one point that guy ran the state, which should tell you a little bit about how far behind we are. And he looked at Michael Lewis and said, if you want a political party, we'll make you one. He didn't get it. He didn't get it at all. And I think, I mean, I just wish we could model after Lexington. I believe Frank can back me up on this. Frank, are you still there?
I'm still here, yes, sir.
Frank, isn't it true in Lexington, all their local races are nonpartisan?
Well, let me think. The city council race is nonpartisan. The mayor's race is nonpartisan. School board races are nonpartisan.
Well, that's why I'm talking about city council and mayor, because they still do the stupid party labels in Louisville. We can't even get them to do the city council one to do nonpartisan. That would be a big jump, I think, if we could just get them to do that.
Well, I think some of the lower races might be partisan, but those major ones are all nonpartisan, yeah.
Paul?
But Dale, think about this, and I'm not sure what other states do, since you're broadcasting to an international audience. Again, I kind of would like to know the answer to this. But in Kentucky, when you fill out your taxes each year, well, the government confiscation of your hard-earned money, I like to call that. But when you fill out your tax forms, you have the option to designate a certain amount of money to go to a political party. Well, if the fact is that none of these parties can prove membership, except for those who are members of their committee, their executive committee.
Right.
Why are we taking public money and underwriting the operations of two exclusive clubs?
Because about 99% of the politicians in our state and all the other states and at the federal level belong to those two clubs.
So that's a public policy issue that we are subsidizing.
But they make policy.
Tax revenues to, you know, we might have to have a change in that one day. Okay.
I think we might. I think, Paul, our good friend, I want to say that I know this gentleman too, 368 phone number, you're on the air. Who's this?
This is Clint.
I was Clint. How you doing, brother? Tell us what's going on.
Four things. One, the Chris Hall event was covered by our show last night.
Yep.
Go to the 5-minute mark and check that out. Two, I was glad to see on the industrial hemp issue a couple of weeks that Tom McKee, the Agriculture Committee chair, acquiesced. Of course, there's new shenanigans going on with Roddy Atkins, but we were going to start a super PAC against Mr. McKee if he didn't straighten up, you know, there being only one vote in his committee against industrial hemp, Senate Bill 50 as is. So, you know, we talked about that on the Ed show a week and a half ago. Well, right now, they, of course, on the industrial hemp issue, they put amendments from Rodney Atkins, who's in leadership. I think he's number two, the floor leader in the Kentucky State House, to take it away from the Agriculture Committee and give it to the Kentucky State Police for oversight of industrial hemp.
God.
So that's
deadly right there. That's DOA. I mean, the thing I wish that they would do, and Clint, you can give me your opinion on this, because I know our good friend David Adams mentioned this to me off, you know, some time back, and he brought out the point, why don't they go with the, what's the term I'm looking for, the petition? I'm tired today. I've been working too long today. The release petition where you can get it to the floor with so many representatives without having the people have to.
Oh, you're talking about the discharge petition.
Yes.
Well, it was heard in committee. So the whole thing with that is Jim DeCesare and Stephen Rudy, which are both state reps on the Ag Committee. Didn't think a discharge petition could be done since it's already passed out of committee.
What is your opinion on that? Couldn't they do a discharge at any time?
I don't know if you can do a discharge petition for something that's just being held up in the floor by that. And then, you know how you kill a bill? You just keep amending it to the death.
Oh, yeah, you just water it down.
Running out the clock. That's what they're doing here.
You water it down because you do not want the watered-down version of this crap. Now, I think one of your other points, you wanted to bring up the whole ConCon thing and the proposal in Indiana, correct?
Yeah. Before I do that, go back to the Chris Ann Hall thing.
Yep.
Take Back Kentucky was moved to the 23rd.
I thought you'd say that. That's good. That's good to know.
Right.
I'm just now getting back on a daily and weekly work schedule where I can get back out there. So that's good to know that people can go see her on that long session on Saturday and not miss out on Take Back Kentucky.
Yeah, we were able to cover that event live at Austin's up in Northfield. 3 points I want to make on that. Lindsey Graham and John McCain were actually booed by Tea Partiers and mainline Republicans alike.
Yep.
When they were mentioned by Jim Milliman, who's in Rand Paul's Senate organization. He's
yep.
a state director or something. But Chris Ann Hall did something that I didn't think anybody would do in such a large crowd, and she actually exposed Marco Rubio.
That's great.
There was a couple questions at the end asking about Rubio, because they were actually mouths dropped and people were actually shocked that Rubio is not – a Rand Paul, or he's not like Mike Lee of Utah, etc.
Nope.
And of course, what sets Rubio apart from, you know, somebody like a Graham or like the whole thing with John McCain is when they're with the Tea Party, they act like Tea Partiers, but when it comes to actual votes, like on the NDAA or the Patriot Act, they're not with us. And
no.
Frankly, on the filibuster, even though Rubio showed up to be there and be in support of Rand, he voted against us on the appointment of Brennan.
He called Rand Paul and our type to be wacko birds, remember?
Yeah.
John McCain said we're wacko birds. I'm guessing John McCain, if he was there in Philadelphia or up in Boston, either one, and Ben Franklin or James Madison or John Adams were speaking, I guess John McCain would call them wacko birds too.
Yeah, I'd say so. Truly, truly. The actual thing going on in Indiana with the Article 5 Convention, the Constitutional Convention.
Yep.
Just a little bit of background. I'm sure you've covered it probably 100 times on the show, so I'll
probably
be brief.
Not as much as I should. I'm glad for you to bring it back to the front burner. Give people the update on that.
As people in the past may know, in Ohio and Kentucky, last year we stopped the Constitutional Convention from going through the State House and State Senates, in particular in our state. The problem in Indiana is that a lot of the Tea Party are for it, and the Senate Bill 224 and 225, which would Indiana would be the 32nd to 34th state, and 34 states would be the required two-thirds needed to call for Constitutional Convention. We definitely don't need that. But it's already passed the Indiana State Senate. Mike Pence, the new governor, is for it. So if you're going to stop it, you're going to have to do it in the Indiana State House, and it's in the Judiciary Committee, Senate Bill 224 and 225.
We've seen Clint with ratification of bills that the feds don't care about the true numbers. They'll make it up as they go. We saw 100 years ago when they put in the fake income tax that was not supposed to be on us as people. That did not even get ratified by Kentucky, but the record books and the history books claim that we ratified it. So we know that they'll fudge the numbers, so we definitely don't want a 33rd or 34th state going along with a con.
Right. And the only thing that could really slow it down once, if Indiana actually passes this, is the two states, I forget if it was Wyoming or North Dakota, one of the states out west that rescinded their con-cons back in the 80s and the 90s, if somebody decided to challenge whether they're 34. And the legislators in Indiana are so confused, and I said some liberty activists online, that Indiana thinks they're the first state to do this.
Oh my
God. I kid you not.
Too many people don't know the rules. Too many people don't know history and don't know the rules, Clint, because they don't teach in these government indoctrination camps called public schools. Too many people don't realize once one state starts it, it stays out there. There's no statute of limitations on this kind of thing.
Right.
We've had amendments to our Constitution passed back in, you know, the 70s that had been being proposed for 50, 60 years.
Yeah, and the final point I want to make is once something like this is up for debate, you can even, you know, put a provision in your bill to take your delegation and have them leave. Well, you still got 49 states and the District of Columbia that's going to do whatever you want, and they're not going to have representation. We did this before. The only time we did it, we had the Articles of Confederation. It was supposed to be amended. Instead, it was replaced with the U.S. Constitution. Quite frankly, I don't see, especially out of the Northeast, say maybe New Hampshire, and really a lot of states, I mean, people moronic to vote for Barack Obama. Of course, I wasn't a Mitt Romney fan and didn't vote for him. But the bottom line is you're not going to get, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington's walking through the door to be the delegate. You're more likely to get a Ted Kennedy or a Barack Obama as your delegate.
Worse, you're going to get people who you would like to think we want people who aren't in government, but you're going to get Mary Soccer Mom who thinks that whatever they tell her on PMSNBC is true, whatever that dude, that one little short guy, Rachel Maddow, tells them, you know, thinks everything that guy tells them is true, or they watch CNN and believe that crap. I mean, this is the kind of people that they're going to get out there, and so we always want to stand up against the Constitutional Convention. That's something that always wants to creep up, and very, very rarely do people even speak on it because they don't understand it. Maybe the folks over at the New American or the John Birch Society will talk about it, and we'll talk about it at Take Back Kentucky, and I'm glad you mentioned that meeting has actually been moved to the 23rd. We appreciate you. All good comments, Clint. We'll put you back on the in the queue here. We had to make our one break of the night. You are listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming down the stretch here on the My View Matters Radio Network. You're listening to TNT Radio Thursday Night Truth with Dale the Truth. We are very thankful for all the good information our good friend Frank from the People's Republic of Vietnam checked out in here and telling us about. We're thankful for Glenn Hardy calling in with some details and talking about the whole situation with Chris Ann Hall. Paul was talking about that. And also about Take Back Kentucky, reminding everybody that apparently that is going to be on the 23rd of March. So now we want to get into a little bit of a national story. You know, I couldn't go too far without a good conspiracy story. And this is coming from our good friend Kurt Nemo, who wrote this today about the new pope. Everybody knows the new pope is Jorge Mario Bergoglio, who will be now known as, I guess, Pope Francis. I don't get why it can't just be Pope Jorge or Pope Mario. I think it'd be kind of cool to have a Pope Mario. But nonetheless, the new pope, who was elected by the conclave on Wednesday, was intimately involved in Operation Contour's dirty war in South America. Kurt Nemo says that the pope was a product of Chile's DINA secret police in five other national security states in Latin America, Argentina, Bolivia, Brazil, Paraguay, and Uruguay. And Operation Condor was designed to monitor, assassinate, and quote-unquote disappear dissidents who threatened the banksters. Of course, you know, the banksters never get in trouble. We saw that unless you're Iceland. That's the only time the banksters ever get in trouble. So, again, you look at the situation that went on back in the 70s, the brutal dictator of Chile went so far as to expose his murder operation to the United States. And you get down into the situation, and there's a biographer by the name of Sergio Rubin who says that the pope's behavior was not so much complicit as it was pragmatic. And that is to say that the pope failed to challenge the dictators at a time that so many people were getting killed, and they attributed the now pope's later reluctance to share his side of the story as a reflection of his humility. Moreover, a human rights lawyer, Miriam Bregman, tried to bring now Pope Francis to court for the role that he allegedly played in the betrayal of two Jesuit priests who were kidnapped and handed over to an Argentine death squad. Got your interest yet? So basically, Pope Francis twice invoked his right under Argentine law to refuse to appear in open court, and when he eventually did testify, his answers were evasive, said El Mundo in November 2010. Bergoglio headed up the Catholic Church during a successful effort by the globalists to dismantle Argentina's economy. The country's military dictatorship was supported by bankers and, you guessed it, David Rockefeller. One of the key appointments of the military junta was Jose Alfredo Martinez de Lois, a member of Argentina's business establishment and another good friend of David Rockefeller. The neo-leftist macroeconomic policy package adopted under Martinez de Lois was a carbon copy of that put in Chile by the dictatorship under advice from the, quote, Chicago Boys. You see, the IMF and World Bank wrecking ball accomplished its task in South America with predictable results: massive misery, poverty, malnutrition, and death. Pinochet did not destroy Chile's economy all alone, writes Greg Palast of the disaster that unfolded in Chile. It took 9 months of hard work by the most brilliant minds in world academia, the Chicago Boys. Under the spell of their theories, the general abolished the minimum wage, not a bad thing, abolished all taxes on wealth and business profits, slashed employment, and ran a fiscal surplus. That doesn't sound so bad at first. But again, you got to remember what was going on in Chile and what was going on in Argentina. And so this is a story that we will have to do a little bit more research on and come back later and visit. Because the one thing we do know is this is the first pope from South America. We know that this is the first Jesuit pope. And one thing that is very well researched, if you go do a start page search on it, don't Google it, because I don't want them watching what you do. But if you go do a start page search on the Jesuits and the New World Order, you'll find the ties are very close between groups like the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, and the Jesuits. Hell, the CIA came into existence via the Jesuits and students of the Jesuits. So that's something that we really got to get into later and explain the makings of the Jesuits and how they tied into the whole New World agenda. So, that being said, we do want to hit on a couple of announcements before we close out the show, and that is upcoming events. We just heard about the event coming up pretty soon with Chris Ann Hall, which is this coming weekend. She's kind of on tour around the state, where people want to go check that out and see where she's at. And we also heard that Take Back Kentucky will be held the following Saturday on the 23rd. We know it's a busy time, and we know that coming up in April, there are going to be a couple big events. There's going to be a Thomas Massey Town Hall just down the road here in Crestwood. We know that the Little Tea Party is working with that on Friday, April 5th at the Oldham County Schools Arts Center in Crestwood. And then a week after that, we're having the Stand with Rand Liberty Gala with Senator Paul here in Louisville. And that's going to be at the Marriott in downtown Louisville. So these are events that are upcoming. We always tell people to stay involved. You're going to hear more in an hour here than you hear in a month anywhere else. We invite everybody to come back to our show every Sunday through Thursday night. We come back with the aforementioned Ken Moman, who is, once again, the state chairman of the Libertarian Party. Ken Moman brings his perspective, very intelligent guy, his perspective on Sunday nights with Liberty Unbridled. And then Monday and Tuesday nights, Ed Martin and Ed Springsteen come back to you. I'm here with Ed Springsteen on Wednesday nights. And lo and behold, we come back around to Thursday nights to the TNT radio show. I just go back to what Rand Paul said, because it's very important that you take away from his comments from CPAC today. And that is the GOP of old, grown, stale, and moss covered. That GOP is encumbered by an inconsistent approach to freedom. He said the new GOP will need to embrace liberty in the economic and personal sphere, and liberty needs to be the backbone of the GOP. Well, we've seen too long, for too long and too far, the GOP had no backbone at all. So we're glad to have Thomas Massey and Rand Paul representing us, and we're hoping that more people will run for office at the local, state, and federal level in our state of Kentucky, so we can work on our own little free state project. And that's not a disrespect to our good friends up in New Hampshire, because it's a different purpose. But liberty activists got to work together. If you're all spread out and there's only one of you against 100 or 200 of them, you're not going to get a lot accomplished. There's strength in numbers, and the more people you have together, the more you'll be able to stand up in the end and look the jackbooted thugs in the eye and tell them all, death to your new world order. Have a good night, friends.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look way down the river, and what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look down yonder, Gabriel, put your feet on the land and sea. But Gabriel, don't you blow your trumpet till you hear from me. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. meet me, Jesus, meet me. Meet me in the middle of the air. And if these wings don't fail me, I will meet you anywhere. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, meet me, mother and father. Meet me down the river road. And mama, you know that I'll be there when I check in my load. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!